Well, this morning we're going to have a little visit about something I guess that's kind of seasonal with Halloween right around the corner. Cheryl Morris joins us here this morning. She is an assistant professor of animal science at Iowa State University and actually has a pretty interesting part-time job we're going to talk about here this morning. Cheryl, thanks for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I want to talk about your part-time job. You spend some time over at Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo working with some creatures that I'm not too sure most folks would want to work with real closely.
I do. I'm fortunate enough that the Omaha Zoo essentially pays my summer salary equivalent, so I do get to help them out with the nutrition pretty much for every species that they house over there, including some vampire bats and all a bunch of different species of bats, actually.
Well, how did you ever get hooked up with this?
It was fairly serendipitous, to be quite honest with you. I'm classically trained as a comparative nutritionist. I have a bachelor's degree in human nutrition. My master's degree actually was from Iowa State in ruminant nutrition, working with feedlot cattle. And then my PhD, what I really was kind of missing about nutrition at the time was I loved the health aspect of nutrition and wanted to get back into the health side of it, but still wanted to work with animals and move a little bit away from the production side. And so I ended up with a PhD in canine and feline nutrition from the University of Illinois. And I had no idea at the time that having an understanding the human and understanding a ruminant and understanding carnivores would actually be perfect for work in a zoo environment, because I've had to literally work with all types of nutrition for a lot of variety of different animals.
Well, that's got to be quite a challenge.
It's a huge challenge, primarily because we actually don't know the nutrient requirements of the vast majority of those species, in fact, all of them. We have nutrient requirements, obviously, for the domestic production species that we work with traditionally in animal science, such as beef cattle and dairy cattle and swine, but we don't have the nutrient requirements established for, say, other ruminants like a giraffe, or, of course, our bats, or even our large cats and our large carnivores. We can use the domestic cat as a model for a tiger, but it's obviously not a tiger, and there are some differences. So it can be quite a challenge when we're trying to formulate diets.
I bet. Well, it's one thing to deal with herbivores, carnivores, and whatever else you've got there, but you're dealing with vampire bats who are what, neither?
Yeah, I classify them actually as carnivores because they do. They consume primarily, actually, essentially, completely blood. They're totally misunderstood little creatures, and I love them. I love all bats, but vampire bats I'm very, very partial to because they are totally misunderstood. They're always depicted as these little blood-sucking creatures, and in reality, they're very small, and they'll just attach to an animal and make a very small bite, particularly to cattle, and then they just kind of lick the blood. They don't actually suck it. which is kind of misunderstood about them. But that's their exclusive diet, and they're from South America, and that's what they will feed on is just blood.
Is there a ready supply then of fresh blood to be able to feed these, or is that quite a challenge in itself?
It can actually be a challenge, and that's actually the challenge that a lot of the zoos that manage them actually does have. There aren't that many zoos within the AZA community or accredited zoos that manage vampire bats because of that. And you would think that blood would actually be fairly easy to get, and especially in Omaha where we have meat processing facilities, and that's primarily where we would get the blood from is meat processing facilities in the Omaha area. But what happens is it does need to come from a USDA-inspected facility, or at least that's what we would hope to be able to get it from an inspected facility. And it does, when you think about the number of animals that have to be processed and go through some of those larger facilities, it can take a little bit of extra time on the institution side when they have to actually go collect this blood for us on the line. And that's actually kind of what it ended up coming down to in our case. But, yeah, depending on the zoo, it can be an issue if you're not within a close proximity to a facility where you can actually get fresh blood.
Well, I have to ask you about the process then, because I'm thinking most folks are sitting at home right now thinking vampire bats, and so how do you feed them? Do you actually have to walk into their cage, their holding area, their cave, whatever it is that they're in, and stand there? And most people just get shivers down their spine thinking about that. So how does it work?
It's actually much easier than that, and it's not nearly as scary. We simply put the blood in petri dishes, and again the bats are they essentially will crawl down onto the cave floor of their enclosure, and they will actually lap up the blood from these petri dishes, just like a dog or a cat would lap up water, is what it actually looks like. The blood we have to vampire bats are really cool in that they actually secrete an anticoagulant. It's been referred to as Draculin, oddly enough. But it's an anticoagulant in their saliva, and so we actually put anticoagulant in the blood so that the blood doesn't actually coagulate for the animals when they're on exhibit. But we feed them twice a day, we change the blood out twice a day, and they pretty much have full access to it 24 hours a day.
Cheryl, what kind of a reaction do you get from folks who don't really know what you do in your spare time, I guess, and then they find out that you're out there playing with and feeding vampire bats? Really? Do they look at you a little funny?
They do look at me funny, especially when I tell them that I love bats. I do, yes, and I've become very fond of a lot of other species that I never thought I would like. You know, alligators are one of them, alligators and snakes. I never thought I would enjoy those, yet I do very much. I do get a lot of funny looks. Mostly people are intrigued. I don't think a lot of people think about what it takes to feed the enormous number of animals that we have at Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo, the amount of money that it takes to feed all of those animals and to maintain them, and the dedication of the staff at the zoo to keep all of those animals in great condition.
Well, now, if I understand the story correctly, and I'll let you tell the story, though. Now, your husband also is involved with the zoo as a chief operating officer, and you guys, where did you guys meet originally?
Well, we met at the zoo.
Okay.
Actually, the day that I interviewed is actually the day that we officially met, and then we started dating a few years later, I guess. And we got married in 2009.
And you got married at?
We got married at the zoo.
Okay. And you wanted to get married in the bat cave, is that correct?
I absolutely did. We did not intend to have a wedding, but he has six sisters, and they were pretty insistent that we have a wedding, and so I selected Halloween because it's my favorite holiday, not because of the bats, but I love this time of year, and I've always enjoyed Halloween. So we decided that's what we were going to do, and the first thing that came out of my mouth when I told him, I said, we just need to get married down in the bat cave. If you've been to Omaha Zoo, the bat cave is the one that obviously has all the bats in it, where you look up and you can see the light when you're down in Kingdoms of the Night. But it wasn't quite big enough for his entire family from Omaha, so we decided to walk across the way and have it over in the Treetops restaurant.
Cheryl, what in the world happened to you, huh?
some would question that, definitely.
Hey, all kidding aside, though, it's important work. Someone needs to be able to take care of these things and understand the needs of these animals. And, you know, the Henry Dorley Zoo is one of the largest in the country, certainly one of the most visited in the country. And there are a lot of folks that come from a long way and really do enjoy all the exhibits. It does take a lot of work.
It takes an enormous amount of work, and, you know, so many zoos in the U.S. and Omaha, one of those, spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and just tons of dedication in conservation efforts globally, all the way from Madagascar to even right here locally, especially with amphibians. You know, we have a lot of amphibians that are in crisis, even those from right here in the state of Iowa. And that's an issue. And we have scientists, we have keepers that are working in all aspects of conservation. My work specifically is focused on conservation of the animals that we manage in the zoos. And all of it is important and very important work. And again, they are just very dedicated staff, and I think we're all proud to be affiliated with that zoo.
You bet. And with Halloween right upon us here, even though they have a creepy name, vampire bats, it sounds really creepy.
<do.
laughs> We should appreciate them and not fear them, huh?
No, they should not. They should not be feared. They are wonderful little animals, and they are definitely misunderstood. And I think when people actually see them and they see how small they are, and actually when they see them eat, they're like, "Well, that's not quite as scary as I thought it would be."
Well, keep up the good work, I guess, huh?
Well, thank you very much. I intend to.
Yeah, keep the blood coming. All right, very good. That's Cheryl Morris, and we hope when you get a chance to get over to the Henry Dorley Zoo, make sure you stop by and see what Cheryl's good work is being put to there. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.